from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Here's my little opening story that I'm going to start with, roughly. I have agreed foolishly to grow a mustache because November is Movember, the Mustache Awareness for Prostate Cancer Month. And under the pressure of looking like a dingbat if I didn't say yes, I agreed because I'm already halfway there. I've been so lazy about shaving recently, like literally not fucking caring, that I'm a bit like Grizzly Adams right now. So I couldn't even bother to come up with an excuse why I wouldn't do it. And so I'm going to have a mustache for the fucking till the end of November.
You're growing a mustache.
I'm growing a ridiculous mustache.
For what, prostate cancer awareness?
Yeah, basically I'm joining a team, and our whole thing is that we will grow our mustaches, take photos to display our glorious mustaches in order to raise funds to increase prostate cancer awareness, because it's a killer. It kills 4,000 Canadians every year. And I can't even imagine how many kills in the U.S.
Need I remind you, I'd wind back the tape and play clips of you saying, cancer's bullshit, fuck cancer awareness.
No. Remember that? Said breast cancer fucking shit was bullshit. I said that there's plenty of other cancers that we're not talking about. I prefer if it was mustache for colon cancer awareness, but honestly, I guess that they don't want the implication of having a, you know, mustache for colon cancer. Maybe that's not a good connection. Because colon cancer is fucking serious.
Yeah, well, I mean, prostate, colon. Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. Like, when you said prostate, I was figuring, like, it was all general ass cancer. Like, it was mustache for ass cancer.
No. It's mustache for prostate cancer. And I'll tell you one thing. I highly recommend this to anybody who's in those risky years. Just jerk off a lot more. Just do it. I don't care if you don't feel like it. It's for your own good.
But jerking off lowers the chance. Is this one of those weird studies that they just numerically, maybe they just got a body of people who just masturbated a lot who didn't get colon cancer, and it's just a weird fucking
I don't quite remember why, but I mean, the prostate is what produces most of the seminal fluid, and I'm sure as you age and sexual interest wanes, it probably
What happens to that stuff? Like the stuff that's no longer fresh? Is it like a bag of milk that just goes sour?
Well, you will have emissions when you if it gets too full. If you've never masturbated for a significant amount of time, have you tried this, by the way?
You're a liar. What, if I don't jerk off for a month, I'll have like a crazy wet jizz dream?
Oh, fuck, the wettest. You wouldn't even imagine. You would have thought you pissed your bed. You don't even know. You'd be like a porn star. You would be like Peter North.
You know, I was going to say that it sounded good, and then the reality of it
said the reality, you'd have to sleep with a diaper. Let me tell you, it's not cool.
And this is what, like, legit Christian people who really don't touch themselves.
Well, this is the Christine O'Donnell crew who doesn't believe in masturbation. I mean, you ever hear the legends of the succubus and the incubus? The whole idea is that there are these night demons that would appear and sexually please you, and this was their way of explaining night emissions.
Mm-hmm.
Saying like, oh, a demon woman has stolen my seed, and then they thought that those succubus would steal the seed and then have offspring with them, and they would produce witches. In fact, the witch trials during the Inquisition, everybody believed that the women that they burned, the hundreds of thousands of women they burned, were the product of these succubus that would steal men's semen.
So these guys that were burning all these chicks, they were so wound up from not jerking off that they were blowing their loads in their sleep, thinking that demons were doing it and impregnating witches, so they had to burn them.
Listen, you want to talk about blowing your load? These same guys, the Inquisitors, part of their responsibilities was to examine the vagina to some detail. Because it was believed that there would be clues as to a woman's witchcraftery in the nether region. So imagine your prudish society, hyper-fucking repressed, don't masturbate. It's some fucked up shit. If you want to identify the whole witch trials, it's nothing more than sexual hysteria to some degree.
Oh, to some degree.
Well it's not the entire degree. You know what the other part of witchcraft mania was really all about? If you declared someone as a witch and they were found guilty, which was usually what fucking happened, you would split their assets with the church. You'd get 50-50. So, yeah. There was a financial incentive to fucking declare people as witches.
Not a bad deal.
Yeah, fucking madness.
But okay, let's step back for a second and get back to your ass cancer. Are you going to be updating people on The Good Atheist and raising money for prostate cancer? Are you going to do something good for other people rather than just yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to do it because I got to take pictures too, right? So I figured I'd put them up on the site and everybody could just kind of get a laugh.
And you know
my
what?
Ridiculous mustache.
Here's what you can try and do. Grow a Riker, see if you look good, and if you do, take over the world with your amazing Riker.
Yeah. The Riker beard. I don't know if everybody knows what the Riker is. We'd have to explain that. If you've never watched Star Trek The Next Generation...
It's the power beard.
The power beard.
Beard of power. Plus 10 charisma, plus 20 ballsitude. It's never fail a savings throw on confidence or amazingness.
Nope. You all... And it's just jazzy. It's just fucking jazzy. I was actually thinking of doing that, but it would be a bit of a cop-out to go beardo when the whole point is to have a ludicrous mustache. Because the thing is, people are supposed to comment and ridicule you for your ludicrous mustache, which then brings up the opportunity to talk about the cause that you're doing this for. So.
Oh, because you're already being made fun of, so you're not going to feel ashamed for talking about a prostate.
No, maybe that's stretching it a little bit. It's just that if you're... It's kind of like you don't just sit on the bus or with somebody that you don't know very well and say, hey, by the way, I'm doing this for prostate cancer.
I have this mustache because of my asshole.
Yeah, see, that's not how that discussion goes.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. Congratulations to you for doing that. I will not be doing that, as I just won't.
You would look like a molester with a mustache, I have to think. I mean, yeah, with those glasses especially... I mean, you remember how you say that you can't go to the park and fucking fly a kite because everybody looks at you weird?
The mothers. Yeah. The mothers of children. And, it, you know, it's sad because, you know, I'll check the moms out, and I guess they must think that I'm just checking them out to see, like, oh, is she paying attention?
Is her back turned around or I will molest her child?
I'm just checking out, like, because, I mean, you know, we live in Verdun, which is, like, underage mother capital.
Oh, my God, I just can't believe it. Every time I walk through this neighborhood, I keep thinking that I'm somewhere in Alabama or something. It's unbelievable. So many pregnant teens.
Anyways, yeah, I'm just checking them out. I'm just checking them
You're
out.
Checking out the pregnant teens?
And I will admit, it might be slightly inappropriate for me to be checking them out as they are all so young, but, you know.
They're young with child.
Anyways.
They definitely put out.
No mustache for me.
All right, before we start the show... which I'm sure will be, unfortunately, all over the place because I still have not left my damn job.
Well, does it feel like one of those shows we're just going to be jumping all over the place?
Just a little bit.
You know,
anybody who's sort of hoping for a slightly more organized show, I'm like, give me another week, folks, because I'm literally rounding out this 9-to-5 bullshit. I've got some thoughts that I want to share with you, but in terms of structure, you can just toss that out the fucking window.
Well, is this the bonus show or the?
This is the regular show.
I thought last one was the Susan Jacoby. That was the regular one.
No, that was a bonus show. We provided the bonus show for free. Bonus shows are free this month.
Okay, well, I don't feel ass bad for it being completely ridiculous. As far as like a Susan Jacoby, like new listeners check in and listen to this, worst show ever.
What? What are you talking about?
It was just awful. I was there.
Yeah, you idiot. I edited it down.
You took out all that stuff?
I took out all the bad stuff.
Okay.
It's only like 2-minute intro.
That's good.
I heeded your warnings.
I'm glad.
There you go. So you don't have anything to worry about. The bonus show went fine.
Well, sometimes you don't listen.
This is going to be the shitty show.
You don't listen to things I say.
I fucking feel sorry for anybody who's listening right now. All right, the one thing I did want to say, and this is just one of those things that blew my mind when I got it. I received a letter from a soldier in Afghanistan who is telling me that he listens to the show with his fucking troop when they are out hunting the fucking Taliban, dude. And he was like, hey, can you send a shout out? And I'm like, yeah, I can fucking send a shout out. You just blew my fucking mind, buddy.
It's pretty trippy. Sometimes, and you know what? Tell you the truth, this is something I realized after the atheist convention. It's real people out there listening to things.
They're so real.
They're human
flesh and blood
with their own consciousnesses.
As far as they are, as far as they look like to us most of the time, they're just a number. It's just a number that fluctuates, and we don't really quite understand it. But every once in a while, when they reach out and they fucking touch you and they're just like, hey, I'm in a fucking war zone. Can you talk about me? And I'm just like, and this is after he becomes a patron. He pays for the show and he tells me this after. I wish he would have actually told me before because I would not have accepted his money. I'm like, there's no fucking way that you were goddamn in Afghanistan while I sit on my ass here doing nothing. And meanwhile, you're fucking risking your life. No, I couldn't.
So is he above or below the, what was it? Was it the kid from India who came out as an atheist because of you? As far as like, you know, people who paid for it, who should have just been like.
No, the kid in Pakistan did not pay for it.
Okay, thank God.
Free.
Okay.
Do you have any idea how much the show costs if you live in Pakistan? Some ridiculous. It's like 800 fucking sand rupees. I don't know what they use over there. Okay. It's a lot. It's a lot of fucking money. So it was just like, here you go, have the show. But I almost felt guilty taking this guy's money because, number one, soldiers get paid shit, and it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a soldier, I would shoot all the contractors.
Oh, my God, wouldn't you, though? Yeah, I'd be fucking, I found a couple IEDs lying around. You want to take a look at them, you jackass? Kablamo, fuckers. So, yeah, I have a bit of that. I feel for you in terms of that. That's why I was like, I felt guilty about it. So I hope that the shout out is being appreciated. I hope that my shout out is not alarming the enemy.
And let's just say this: any other combat troops over there, just people fucking stuck on a base, sitting on their thumbs, wondering if there's anything to do other than drugs and working out or however it works over there.
I don't know. I watched Jughead and that bored me, but that was the point of the movie.
Jarhead, you mean?
Oh, sorry.
Jughead is the Archie guy.
Whatever. He's also hardcore.
Wears a crown everywhere. That takes balls.
Yeah, well, if you wore that crown, people would have some thoughts.
You know, this is sad because I thought you were going to talk to me about that Christian person who wrote you and told you that you obviously lost somebody, and that's why you turned against God.
Oh, my God. You didn't... You know what? Thank you. Thank you for fucking mentioning that. I was actually... You know, it was one of those things where I'm going to write about this later, and you just never do because...
You need like a repository for all the things you want to talk about. Just add stuff in there.
Look, I think my only problem is, again, like I was trying to just say, I'm not quite done rounding out this 9-to-5 thing. This is
9-to-5 job that you're currently doing as well.
We totally are. I mean, we're getting there really fast. It's just that it's that stupid fucking little face. Yeah. So I received an email just the other day. Yeah, from this Christian who asks me, oh, you must get a lot of these kinds of emails telling you that you're burning in hell. And I'd like to apologize, first of all. It took a lot of guts for you to sort of like speak out against God. And he's like, but I wonder, why do you speak out against someone you don't believe in? Obviously, you must believe in God to be speaking against him. And then he just goes on to quote some fucking Matthew, whatever, and says you must have lost someone and for you to be so angry at God. And if you just surrender to him, it'll feel all better. And it's so funny, too, because, you know, as soon as anybody ever tells you, oh, you're a non-believer, you must have lost someone that you love, I'm like, I think actually you're talking about yourself right there, buddy. It's kind of, are you revealing something about yourself? Did you lose anyone that you love? Because I'll tell you what, I'm actually one of those super lucky assholes that's never actually lost anyone within, you know, his youth that he cares about. Amazingly enough, I knock on wood, but I don't actually believe in superstition. But yeah, I'm a little bit on the lucky side. No lost loved ones turned me away from the cruelty of God. I can assure you that nothing that insidious needs to happen for me to not believe in your ridiculousness.
I always do enjoy that argument that people have where it's, you must be really angry. What happened in your life that you are so angry at God?
Did he kill someone that you love too? Well, I forgave him. I accepted him.
You have to understand his plan. Let's understand this plan. This actually brings me... Did I mention this on the last show, the new insidious thing that Christian people are saying about gay people as far as how they explain gay people's existence in God's wonderful plan?
Well, you probably did, but I think I edited it out, so you'll have to repeat it now.
Okay, well, basically goes like this. Gay people are put on earth to suffer more by God because he hates them. That's how it works. It's basically the idea that God made them gay, not so that they would have these urges, and, you know, the urges are natural and they should go find, you know,
some boys or girls,
depending on, you know, which way they are. But because they are supposed to suffer, and that suffering makes them special in God's eye, and when they get to heaven after rejecting their homosexuality their entire lives, then God will welcome them and say, "Come forth, O sufferful child, I love thee so much."
So, okay, you know, you talk about Pascal's wager. Here's the thing, gay people who listen to the show. Let's revise the Pascal wager and how it applies to homosexuals. So, number one, here's what you have to lose and here's what you have to gain. So, if you are right and you are being tested more and you go to heaven, oh, you're going to paradise land and yay, happy, super fun time. Apparently there you're probably hetero or something. That gets fixed.
They'll fix it.
Just like
having Downs or missing an arm or whatever other way that crippled people get fixed, you'll get fixed the same way, you poor mental cripple.
You'll be super. You won't even worry about that. But here's what you have to lose. You could spend your entire life hating yourself, being confused, thinking you're going to burn forever, resenting yourself, fearing that other people would discover what you are. All of these wonderful things, and you will die, and nothing will happen beyond your death. Your life was just a gigantic waste of time. A brutish, fucking paranoid-filled hellhole.
And then depending on which religion, you know, you subscribe to, there's a whole lot of them that just says, you know what, regardless of what you're thinking or what you're doing, you're fag and you're going to hell. So,
yeah, so even then you will die not having any comfort. You will constantly be in worry of burning in an eternal lake of fire. This is your fate. He's testing you somehow. Wow, that sounds like real fun. What a fantastic guy. Don't you always feel, to some degree, it's the perfect ideology that allows you to not have to wonder or worry about the suffering of others, because you're just saying, well, that's God just, you know, inflicting more suffering because they're worthier. They're worthier. You know,
yeah, it's a very interesting way of looking at things.
It's pretty fucking twisted. It's pretty fucking twisted, but I guess it definitely allows you to sleep at night in your weird delusional haze. Fuck sakes. Hey, speaking of haze, here's something I really just wanted to talk about. We live in Montreal, and we always like to just pretend that, you know, there's no religious crazies out there. We're mostly immune from that, and it's a fucking happening little city. And then we were trying to decide what topics to talk about, and I fall on this, and I'm just like, I must speak of this, just to have a fucking prolonged rant, because it upset me so much. A 13-year-old girl in fucking Montreal got beaten to death by her 71-year-old dad because he just lost it when she failed to say her prayers. So she is now dead because she did not observe her highly religious old dad's prayer service. Shit. And you're just like, man, you read about this girl, right? I went to her Facebook page there where they put up like a vigil for her. And she was like voted coolest kid in class.
She looked cool. I looked at the photo of
her. Oh, no.
She looked cooler than me. She was wearing Buddy Holly glasses.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Like, I don't.
She looked like one of those charming fucking little girls that, you know, goes on to do something awesome. And you're just like, you're the light of the fucking world. You know, you're the diamond in the rough. You are the one that every time I see someone like you that does something nice, my fucking faith in mankind is rekindled. And then it has to be extinguished by some fucking douchebag religious schmuck who kills his own daughter because she doesn't pray. Oh, congratulations. You really got her done, eh? Unbelievable. Like, just the sheer pain of watching someone like that go for something as stupid as, you know, oh, you didn't thank your invisible friend. You die now. You die now. I mean, you know that. I don't want to blame it solely on that. You know how it is normally with generational gaps that are too large.
Crusty old people.
They just don't get it. You know, they'll see a fucking 13-year-old or whatever that lives in a completely different world than they do, and, you know, they disapprove of it. They're like, the society is a lot worse than it was before. Or before what? The civil rights movement, old man? Is that when society was better? Huh? Before universal suffrage? At what point was society better than it is now? When was it more moral? Please fucking point to me to a time in history where we have been more moral. I dare you. But of course, that's not how they see it, you know? Like the pushback, the old farts who just cannot seem to get it beyond, like in their heads, that society evolves and changes. I was watching the Rachel Maddow show, and she had a guest on. He was a political analyst for the Conservative Party, and they were talking about the weird, you know, super anti-homosexual, fucking anti-immigration, all of these, really just this racist tide that is just manifesting itself in the Republican Party. And, you know, he was just on the show begging. I mean, this is MSNBC, all right?
Well,
the
leftist fucking show
that you can expect. Begging other conservatives who might accidentally be watching just because they hate Rachel Maddow so much, saying, you got to do something or else you will literally Titanic this fucking party.
Well, understand. I mean, you know, we give conservatives a lot of shit because often their political leaders are complete dingbat retards. But, you know, every time they do one of those surveys that says that, like, 65% of conservatives believe that Obama is a Kenyan or whatever else like that, you know, there's still that 35% that's out there who are probably generally reasonable.
There are some of those that will listen to the show, and they will completely disagree with us on economic policy and all this other kind of stuff. We'll probably think we're just a bunch of communists or something. But nevertheless, they're atheists. I mean, these crazy religious nutbags on the right doesn't necessarily represent them, but you know, you have to understand that even as a conservative, there are many things that you share in common, and that's really the unfortunate thing right there, that if you are politically conservative, you're fucked. I mean, I can't even understand your pain. If you hate the Tea Party, but you are a Republican or whatever, it must be just a horrible day for you, man. Just a fucking horrible time.
You're being led by morons.
By the village idiots.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. I guess at the end of the day, you just have to... The show, what Rachel Maddow was trying to say was kind of similar to what Sam Harris says in The End of Faith, which is it's the moderates that are partly to blame. You know, you prop up this beast. Take responsibility. Do something about your monsters because they are, you know, loud and roaring indeed.
Yeah, I believe that to a certain degree. I also believe that the media has a large part to blame. I mean, how easy is it to ignore the memes that are going on that are being pushed by massive media outlets?
I mean,
What do you mean, like what?
Well, you're saying that it's partly the
entire political machine that exists now as it does, where they give more of a shit about just any kind of ridiculousness that they can print than about whether or not global warming is real or not. You don't think that the media has a fucking cross to bear in that situation where people are uninformed retards? That's not the media's fault.
This will be very tangenty, but I want to talk about this. It's just a bit of a thing because everybody always blames the media on both sides. You got the right and you got the left. They're always saying it's the media, it's the media, it's the media. And, you know, we're all, like, they're all media that complain about the media.
We're media.
We're part of that media thing. Yeah, sure. To a large degree, I think it's a fucking boogeyman. It's a bit of a boogeyman. Now, you could say that there are kind of narrative trends that get sown, right? The left has its own media, sort of like seeds that it tries to sell. The right has, it's never really changed. They've always been around pushing one agenda or the other. I just think that in this case, we seem to have this, maybe part of the problem is this idea that that journalists, I think, kind of clung to. And maybe it's really kind of like the downfall of ideological ideas where it's saying, well, we're going to try to give equal time and fair, you know, we're going to try to analyze this as fairly as possible. And then the idea that if you're fair, then the truth of a story comes out. But I mean, you can't apply that. Sure, you can apply that when you're dealing with the way that people try to explain what happened. You know, like, they had a fight. Right? It's good to hear both sides, because you both know that these people are lying. But in the case of, say, something like fucking global warming, it's not people are lying, it's the data's there. And if you provide an equal amount of time for the side that doesn't agree, that themselves are lying, then you create a lot of confusion. I think this is generally the problem. We're kind of confused. I think we're just confused because we don't know how to tell bad information from good information. Take the fucking internet as a classic example. How do you discern from good or bad information? How can a person who's listening now know when we're full of shit and when we're saying the truth? How can they know? Right? They better know. If they fucking come on this show and they think that everything that we say is truth, then I got a fucking piece of advice for you. Go educate yourself. Like, I don't want you agreeing with everything I fucking say. That should not be happening. You know, you should have different opinions about things. Many of you out there are probably more educated than me. You just don't have a podcast. But seriously, I mean, do you really want to blame the media all the time? Like, as if this is this nebulous thing that controls all opinion?
I'm saying it like this. Most people get their ideas because they see something or read something. And if they don't get it from the media, they get it from somebody else who got it from the media. I mean, look, we're just vacuous cubes that just get filled with information from the outside world. To think that we're anything else is stupid. So,
we are meat cubes.
Where is most of this crap coming from? Most of it's coming from the idiot media. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, you dig down deep enough and you find the kernel of truth. I'm talking about the shit that you end up hearing on Fox News and on MSNBC and all of those garbage fucking networks that are just involved in a shouting match over whether or not America should be left or right. It is not where people should be getting educated.
So where should... what do you recommend for a person who...
I have no recommendations for stupid people who don't read shit. I just don't. There's nothing that you can do about these people because that they don't want to get they care about hanging out with their friends and doing their things and paying their bills and fucking watching TV and enjoying themselves. They're not getting depressed because they're reading about the financial collapse. They're not getting in-depth fucking analysis on what's going on.
They are the happy
ones. They just see the headlines. And they don't get the full, you know, they just get whatever the headline had. And the headline can just have a question mark. Is Obama a Kenyan? Question mark. That's all they remember.
Oh my God. That's a great title.
Yeah.
That's not a rhetorical question at all.
Yeah, so just, I mean, I'm not going to say that they're fully responsible, but it's definitely a gigantic factor. So, anyways, let's get back to this girl. The girl who got killed in Montreal. Because I do want to bring one thing up.
Yeah,
is that the dad said that he only slapped her and then she died. I don't
slap death. This is a common occurrence.
Well, you know, this is always one of those things. I wanted to look deeper into the story. I googled around for it, and this is his defense, is that he only slapped her and then she died. And you know, my personal view on it is that sounds fishy. Typically in a situation like this, you can imagine maybe he grabbed her and shook her. Maybe, who knows what the fuck happened? Maybe he just banged her head against a wall and it was a corner of a wall, or it was just a bad thing. You know those kinds of situations happens where, like, two drunk guys get outside of a bar and one hits the other guy in the face and he falls and hits the cement and dies. And it's just one of those things that happens 1,000 times every weekend across America, but this guy just died. Is this one of those situations? I don't really believe so, but I did want to kind of put out that was his defense.
This definitely doesn't sound like it, especially seeing as how they are definitely planning on upgrading many of the charges. And you know that that's, even before the autopsy, they're like, yeah, this girl is probably seriously beaten. Have you ever seen someone who just fucking flips a lid about something? Everybody's got that issue, you know, that hot button issue. I'm sure for this fucking old crusty piece of shit, it was the fact that, oh, I guess his daughter wasn't as religious as him. Oh, what a shame. Obviously, she could have learned a thing or two about morality, huh, killer?
I just, you know, I have a hard time, I don't want to say empathizing, but at the very least, understanding where these, you know, people who have those crazy hot flashes where they just beat the fuck out of somebody weaker than them.
When they just lose it.
I just don't get that. I've never gone to that point, so I can't really understand it whatsoever. When we just go monkey and just fucking beat the shit out of something. Just hit it with your fucking monkey hands.
It happened to me once, actually. I was how old was I? I was a teenager, and we had this dog, and this dog was like hyperactive to shit, and we had to close it in the bathroom. And it dug a hole literally in the wall. There was a gigantic hole in the wall. And I guess when I saw that, I just fucking flipped the lid. And I beat my dog, man. And after...
Wow.
I did. Like, and I felt like such a piece of shit after. I never ever did anything like that ever again. I remember what it was like, though. I mean, you just kind of lose control. And you just kind of... The fucking ape takes over. You just... You find something to be mad about, because we had already been mad about it. Because, you know, she had already started. And then when I came back, it wasn't just like, oh, there was a tiny hole. There was a hole the size of her fucking head in the wall. And, you know, I guess at that point, things are going through your mind saying, like, I'm going to be the one to blame for this. And then how dare you? And you're this fucking dog and you suck. Whatever. You're a stupid, hormone-filled teenager and you have no empathy.
Well, I'm really glad that you mentioned that you're doing this mustache for prostate cancer thing, because you're a horrible human being.
I am a bit of a horrible human being. We all start off as dicks. I don't know if you know this, if you know a lot of kids, kind of dicks.
That's why it's important not to murder them when they displease you.
Yeah.
Give them a couple more years. They might not displease you as much.
It takes a while for, you know, human beings to be human beings. I mean, kids are cute, but holy shit, they are monsters. I mean, you read about stuff that they do to, you know, some of their fellow fucking peers in schools and stuff like that. And you're like, any adult that would do what kids do, you're just like, you're a monster. You're a fucking monster. Like teasing someone to like kill themselves. Like, you don't fucking do that shit. It's horrible. Who would do that? Children, they are our future.
It's Lord of the Flies at schools nowadays, it seems like.
It must really, you know what, it must worry a person who just realizes, oh my god, all these kids are dicks, and just say, there's no hope for the future, don't worry about it. They'll come around. You did too. You were a dick. You just don't remember you were a dick. I at least have the fucking honesty to remember when I was such a piece of shit.
Well, have you heard of the It Gets Better program?
No.
Dan Savage started this. It's like a YouTube video playlist blog. It's a whole collection of videos from homosexuals going on YouTube and telling their stories of high school where they went through all this shit and it was horrible, but it gets better. And please don't kill yourselves, gay kids, because you're awesome and you shouldn't. And it gets better.
Well, it was a lot in the news probably because there's been a huge resurgence of gay teens killing themselves.
I wonder if that has anything to do with this whole homosexuality is evil meme that seems to be just ripping across North America nowadays.
You think maybe just a little bit, and the gall of some of these religious people saying that it's just because they're tormented, and like you said before, they're being tested by God. And meanwhile, you're like, no, they're being tested by you, who keeps spewing hate at them. And after a while, people believe the horrible, horrible things that you tell them. I mean, even with people that are out of the closet for, you know, whatever reason, it takes so long to convince this person that they are not fucked up or evil or bad. We have to undo the damage that you do, religious fundamentalists. We have to spend time, effort, energy, care to undo the bullshit that you just do by just being yourselves, just your natural old hateful selves. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. We love it. Hey, speaking of religious assholes that fucking hate everything that pleases people, how about we talk about the story of Professor Robert Edwards, who won recently a Nobel Prize for essentially
test tube babies.
Test tube babies. He was the first guy to be able to do it. Took a long time. I mean, like, it's not easy. All right, it took him 20 years to perfect actually fertilizing an egg and then implanting it into a woman without it fucking up.
It's one of the biggest advances in birth since the C-section. It's just fucking amazing.
So, I mean, you have to wonder how many people it's kind of helped. Just the fact that, you know, tens of thousands of people do it every year. There's probably millions of people that have benefited from new births and additions to families that have added a lot of goodness and love into their lives. But the Catholic Church does not think that such an award is worthy of this individual. And why is that? Well, it's because, you see, the process of in vitro fertilization often creates a lot of embryos that don't end up being used. In fact, the majority of them, just because it's fucking hard getting it right, apparently. We're not that good at it yet, even after fucking 30 years.
Now, when you're saying embryos, you're talking about embryos. Like, just,
I'm talking like couple cells, zygote level.
So it's bullshit.
Yeah, it's just a clump of cells. You can't even see it, practically.
It'd be like the Vatican crying about all that sperm we just shoot off into our socks all the time.
Well, it was really funny because there was this quote from Bishop Ignacio Caroso de Polo, president of the Pontifical Academy of Life.
How you gave him a lot of effort in getting his name right.
I tried. This is what he said. Without Edwards, there would be no market for human eggs. Without Edwards, there would be no freezers full of embryos waiting to be transferred to a uterus, or, more likely, used for research or left to die, abandoned and forgotten by all. Abandoned and forgotten by all, huh? Let me tell you something, Ignacio. There are lots of individuals that actually are alive, that are people, that are slowly starving to death, that are forgotten about while you roam around in your gigantic castle with your billions of fucking dollars in your hypocrite bank account telling everybody, oh, these cells are being forgotten about. Oh, what about all the forgotten cells? Are you fucking serious? Let's talk about some cells that are not even developing, but meanwhile lots of people are fucking dying of AIDS because you told them not to put condoms. You're like, this is evil.
That's the problem with dogma. It's stupid.
It's not even just stupid. Stupid is where it begins. You begin with stupidity and you end with tragedy. That's always how it goes. Of course, stupidity breeds tragedy. What happens when people do stupid things? Horrible, horrible tragedies. And we're witness to this all the fucking time. But I mean, they give a Nobel Prize to obviously someone who deserves it. I mean, you spend 20 years of your life trying to get fucking people pregnant, and you make it happen. Yeah, I think you kind of deserve a prize at that point, huh? You did it. Congratulations. You actually set out what you were fucking trying to do. We should award more prizes to people who do this.
Seriously, it just annoys me that the church went out there and, they just made a statement about it, and they just said, this is horrible. I mean, what?
Well, can't they just shut the fuck up? Seriously.
And to this day, you know, we still read articles about how religion and science aren't enemies, and we could still get along. It's like, we obviously can't.
Well, there was that USA Today column that I sent you, right?
Yeah.
Jerry Coyne, who writes that science and religion aren't friends. And although I don't want to necessarily talk about the article, because I'm sure everybody who fucking listens to this podcast is familiar with the arguments of why they aren't friends, what was really interesting was the comment section where everybody was trying to defend, it's fine, there is no incompatibility, and allow me to tell you the most ridiculous reason why these things are incompatible. And you're just like, you scratch your head, man. I've heard the best of the best try to fucking
rationalize
it. The one that I constantly point to because I find it is the most ludicrous is Kenneth Miller, who was a Catholic, but he's the one who defended the side of evolution in the Dover trials, Kilmer versus Dover. He was defending evolution, but he's a practicing Catholic. He writes a book about evolution and ends the book with how they're not incompatible. You know how he explains how they're compatible?
Mm-hmm.
He says that within the weird probabilistic world of quantum mechanics, this is how God directs evolution.
Ah.
And I'm like, how does that prove that a man was born of a virgin?
Yeah, that's my whole problem. Anytime science talks about science and religion getting along, I'm like, sure, in the general idea of religion, that's the concept of maybe some kind of cosmic creator that has no explanation or understanding whatsoever. As soon as you bring in anything about any religion in a stupid book full of stupid rules that fucking this God did, no. 100% totally proven completely wrong.
Yeah, complete bullshit. Like, complete ridiculous, ludicrous nonsense. That you would fucking walk around pretending like your shit don't stink, like somehow you're not full of crap. No.
There is a possibility, a very remote, tiny, tiny, like 000 Q. It's just, you know, lots and lots of zeros.
So ludicrous that Ryan doesn't know how to describe this ludicrous.
Exactly. So scientific that I cannot explain it. The Galactus will just come up to the planet and be like, I am back. I am the creator. And that is more likely than anything Christianity has ever said, because we've already determined that it's bunk.
It's so bunk. It's
so unbelievably bunk. It's like we've seen the line of religions that come before it. We've seen the new ones that have even sprung up now. We understand how this whole charade works.
It's like these narratives are identical. I am bored. You know what? If you were a 10,000-year-old man, you would be bored with Christianity. You're like, yeah, been there, done that, buddy. Again and again and again, it's the same fucking narrative. Oh, but this time it's true. Yeah, that's your defense. The only reason why some other similar mythology hasn't come around is actually because we've since stopped accepting the word of people that are insane. Yeah, they're now in insane asylums. You walk into a place and you declare yourself to be the son of God. And you're going to find yourself in a padded 8x8 room before you can say, let go of me.
I don't know. I think, you know, a lot of areas in the southern area of America, you can do that and get a congregation and start doing some stuff.
Well, you know, there always will be those fantastic fundy cults that prop up every once in a while. It's not just in the States.
Oh, every
Golden,
once in a
BC,
while.
Has one of the largest fundamentalist Mormon fucking communities in the world, dude. It is messed up over there.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking Mormons. I'm talking even just like someone who's like, I'm the son of God. I bet you right now.
Well, there are three guys who claim this, by the way.
At least
right
three.
At
that
least
you know
three.
About. There's tons and tons of smaller people who claim the same thing. And they've got their whole, they've got their niche, and they're living on their compounds.
We should be so lucky.
We don't even think about them because it's not even newsworthy until the FDA fucking rolls in with tanks and kills them all.
I don't know why the FDA would do that, but I can understand if the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms does it.
Damn it.
The Food and Drug Administration fucking knocking out
your
party.
You're sharing unpasteurized milk. Hey, they...
Well, it's true. Oh, you got me there, dude. Fucking showing up with some guns. Yeah? Yeah, there you go. If you didn't catch that, I think it's the Colbert Report a little while ago where they were talking about unpasteurized
I don't know. No, I got it from a more legitimate, smarter source.
Fine, whatever. Yeah, actually, no, but
I'm still smarting from fucking up the zero cubed
joke.
That's
fine. We all know that your math is terrible. It's not like my math is good. I mean, we're both quite retarded when it comes to math.
Well, again, atheist conference, you know, smart people meeting them, realizing that the degrees are real.
I think you really quite enjoyed the fact that, remember there was a guy who came over and he started debating with me on
macro versus micro
evolution. And, you know me, when have I backed down from a good fight, right? I don't back down. And it was funny because at first I had no idea who this person was. And, you know, you never really know because people can be just like you. They can be autodidacts that are extremely smart. I mean, it's the atheist scene, right? It's people who are passionate about lectures. Who are you going to find? Nerds, right? Some fucking nerds got together and started doing some talking. And it wasn't until a bit later saying, okay, well, you know, who are you and what do you do? And it turns out that it was Larry Morin, who is a blogger for Sandwalk, which is a fairly popular blog. And he's a professor of biology at the University of Toronto. So, and it was quite funny because during my entire talk with him, it had absolutely just no idea. I was like, I'm just gonna defend this. I'm not even gonna say belief, but you know, my particular interpretation of how evolution works. And what was hilarious at the end of it, and you asked, saying like, well, what percentage believes what Jacob believes, and what percentage believes what you believe? And he's like, it's split down the middle. So that was quite.
Yeah, I will take no stands like that. I will fold like a lawn chair as soon as somebody's like, I teach evolution. I'm like, you win.
Well,
I'm not even gonna try. I'm just the sidekick.
I'll still try and see. You know, because I think at the end of it, the fact that a person hasn't said, well, you don't know what you're talking about, is at least you're just like, I can still hang somewhat. I'm not completely ignorant on this issue, right? I've never wanted to look ignorant in front of a person who actually does it for a living, where someone says, no, you don't get it. Because that hurts. When a person's like, no, I don't even know why you think that. That's dumb. And they could be full of shit, but I believe them because, you know, they have that.
Well, you never know. And that's one of those things that everybody understands, is that you never know how little you know until you find out.
Well, it's funny because there's a lot of people that have often described me as being insecure, which will shock people who listen to the show, I'm sure. But the way that they describe this is because they say, well, you always quote people who think the same thing as you as though somehow you need their approval or you need to convince someone else that your opinions didn't come out of your ass. And of course, I don't think they really realize that that's what most of the time happens. It's like, these opinions come out of my ass, and then I fucking try to find out if they're true or false. So that's the only reason that I bring those people up. It's just that, yeah, I don't actually have any diploma, so I have to. Because, people sometimes do bring that fact up, saying, like, you're not educated, you don't know anything. It's like, that's unfortunate.
Well, I don't mind not being educated. And my general opinion is that, I'm not saying I'm right all the time. God knows we're not right all the time on The Good Atheist. But we strive to be correct in everything and not have a dogmatic approach to anything where we would not be willing to look at evidence towards anything.
I think, fundamentally, you hear these kinds of debates all the time. Atheism is a kind of religion, or you're just as dogmatic for us for having beliefs. And
I'm dogmatic about the truth, goddammit.
And you just wish you could make a person understand that having beliefs doesn't mean that these beliefs were reached with no evidence. It's like, that's the funny thing about the faithful. Because they believe everything they do without evidence, they assume that everybody else does the same thing. You're like, no, my beliefs are actually based on evidence. And when that evidence changes, when a person shows me that I was wrong, I have to have that really kind of awkward moment where I admit that I was wrong, and then I end up being all the better for it, and I kind of forget of the embarrassment of having been wrong.
Unfortunately, you've had like a good long time of being wrong about lots of things, so at this point we've whittled it down, and the things that we talk about on this show, we're generally close to the mark on. Fortunately.
Well, I won't guarantee nothing,
especially not geography or mathematics.
Yes, do not quote us on geography or mathematics.
Do not contact us to fill out that thing on a chocolate bar about, do this math problem if you want to collect this prize.
No, but they make that one easy because they want you to win.
Bed-mas.
They don't make the math hard.
I know bedmas.
Bedmas. I like how you say like a crazy German. What the fuck is that about?
Because it's all capitals.
Yeah, but you, what, because it's in capitals you have to speak like you're German?
A little bit.
Bedmas. That'll get you.
Why, you just say bedmas?
I just call it bedmass, but I don't have a crazy accent when I do it. I'm just saying. You sound like you had Kermit the Frog crawling down your throat.
I say it like it's a sci-fi movie, bedmoss.
That sounds like bed moss, which is something that probably is to be avoided.
Whatever. The A doesn't have the dots over it, but, shut up. I say it how I want.
Well, you know what? I think this is a good time for us to end the show.
Yeah, because I got to go online and find out how to pronounce it properly, and we'll see.
I love the internet for that, though, really. Honestly, before that, we didn't know how to pronounce anything. But with the internet, we know how to pronounce things, according to a weird robotic voice that tells us how to pronounce it.
Wikipedia won't lie to us.
It never lies. All right, before we go, I'd like to thank everybody who's been a contributing member. As you know, October is, we call it a bit of our wash month.
It's your wash month.
Well, you're part of this team, motherfucker.
Okay, true. Okay. Take that back.
So, yeah, we're a bit of a... Thanks for leaving me in the fucking dust. It's your failure, Jacob. Fuck you, dude.
I just don't understand why you're being such a fucking downer. Everything's great.
No, I'm not being a downer. It's just that, I have... I really wanted...
You really want to put, like, a line in the sand between... You were at work before, and next week it's like you're off the leash, and it's going to be unchained and raw and crazy.
Exactly, I told everybody that I kind of felt bad about the show. I'm sure most people will forgive, because once in a while everybody loves a disjointed show. But I wanted to say, well, this month is kind of us. We're just tidying things up, trying to fix things. I mean, it's really an unfortunate coincidence that literally my iTunes feed has kind of fucked up. We're really
is it
at that
still
point,
broken?
Yeah, it's still broken. We're just kind of getting kicked while we're a little bit down. But, October moves on. We're going to be providing a bunch of shows for everybody for free to entice you. By the time I fucking get my act together and I start asking for money again, then I'm sure that there will be less evil eyes down on us saying, no, no, you do not deserve.
I curse the good atheist. I curse it.
I curse you back to hell. All right, with that, we'll catch everybody on Thursday for the show. My name is Jacob Fortan.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.